All right, this is Pure Decking for January the 19th, the first Thursday show of 2012. And oh God, I got the year right. I have been drinking. I'm sorry. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and I've got a pretty heavy panel tonight. We've got RU486, the Fox Wolf, Sardonyx, and, well, somebody let BSV into the room. Hey, guys.
I'm dying from the plague.
Yo.
Did you just call this room fat?
I may have.
What are you, a woman?
Does this room make me look fat?
Yes. Stop asking. Wow. All right, just a quick pump programming notes. We chose not to black out the Galaxy 15 site for the SOPA protest because we thought it would be better if you could listen to our shows where we bitch about it as opposed to just, you know, oh, you can't get to our stuff. And, two, we're not a big name enough site yet to really have a lot of people notice. So instead, we just put a bunch of links on the front page of, yeah, go here, contact, you know, Congress, let them know you're angry. So, yeah. Anyways, speaking of SOPA, I have to open with that. The Thursday show is supposed to be mostly Digital Dojo, you know, hacking and stuff like that. But, unfortunately, I don't have that luxury this week because the SOPA shit is still going on. And this actually, we actually got this right after the Tuesday show, and it was just kind of like, damn it, because we could have had so much fun with this. But what I'm going to read right now, IPAA response to the Wikipedia and Reddit blackouts. And this statement is, I'm going to read it in its entirety. This is everything that was in the PDF. That way, and I've got a link to the PDF, which is on mpaa.org, so nobody can claim we're taking anything out of context. The statement is from Chris Dodd, former Democratic senator, current head president of the MPAA, and douchebag. Only days after the White House and chief sponsors of the legislation responded to the major concern expressed by opponents and then called for all parties to work cooperatively together, bullshit, some technology business interests are resorting to stunts that punish their users or turn them into corporate pawns rather than coming to the table to find solutions for a problem that all now seem to agree is very real and damaging. I've got lots of problems with that paragraph. First and foremost, that everyone agrees is real and damaging. And called for all parties to work together. How exactly do we work with the government on this when they are, I don't know, ignoring us?
We bend over and take it, and they keep plowing it deeper.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants. And, you know, too, I'm pretty sure most people don't actually agree that piracy is this major concern. If you look at the numbers, it's actually fairly small on the lost, you know, as a percentage of, like, you know, the economy. I think they're bullshitting a lot of their numbers.
Under the law here in Australia, any act deemed damaging the Australian economy is an act of treason, and you will go to jail.
That sounds like a whim law, which is what we're trying to avoid here, actually, now that I think about it. Second paragraph, it is an irresponsible response and a disservice to the people who rely on them for information and use their services. It is also an abuse of power given the freedoms these companies enjoy in the marketplace today. It is a dangerous and troubling development when the platforms that serve as gateways to information intentionally skew the facts to incite their users in order to further their corporate interests. That paragraph was written by a man who hates that somebody else controls the internet.
I don't feel like corporates are using me to do dick.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, oh, so we disagree with your viewpoint, therefore somebody has skewed the facts.
Well, in a sense there, he's telling us that we're all too stupid to work out our own ideas on SOPA.
Well, you see, Murph, every word that he says is absolutely true. So everything that goes against it is screw you in the facts.
Must be. And then the final, third and final paragraph from his statement. A so-called blackout, and obviously this statement was released before the blackout. We just didn't get to it in time. But I feel it's important enough to take this to actually pick this apart because, my God. A so-called blackout is yet another gimmick, albeit a dangerous one designed to punish elected and administration officials who are working diligently to protect American jobs from foreign criminals. It is our hope that the White House and Congress can will call on those who intend to stage this blackout to stop the hyperbole and PR stunts and engage in meaningful efforts to combat piracy. Stunts. Okay. I'm just going to start with this whole concept that these blackouts were a stunt. Do you know how many people had never freaking heard of SOPA or Protect IP because it's not on any news station and not in most newspapers?
Yep.
Wikipedia doing what they did is a great way to like inform people of, hey, the government's going to take this shit away from you.
Well, and how does everyone get their assignments done on time without Wikipedia?
Well, that point aside,
we were talking about the cost benefits to the actual household for there being an open source place like Wikipedia. Man, back in my day, your parents used to have to shell out over $1,000 for Encyclopedia Britannica. Just so you could access stuff 24 hours a day, man. Yeah. So if anything, you know, Wikipedia is one of the best things ever created for humanity.
It is a very nice resource of knowledge, and they do a really, very good job of keeping their articles fair and referencing things.
As far as I'm concerned, no one owns Wikipedia apart from the guy who started it, and everyone who's ever contributed to that website owns a slight part of it. No way you should get monetary compensation for that. And if you use some of Wikipedia, it's not piracy. That's bullshit. Everybody's added to the collective content on that page.
Well, the reason Wikipedia is worried about it is because it's user-created content, right? And under SOPA, all you need is an accusation that something on Wikipedia is somebody else's copyright, and they have to pull the whole site.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's we went over this on Tuesday's show. This law is insane.
So does that mean Encyclopedia Britannica has a case against Wikipedia?
Yes.
See, no, don't set back the world 120 years through your lack of knowledge of what can be done today.
It's old school businesses who've had their effective business model, or at least the way they're been conducting their business model, obsoleted by technology. And because they've got a lot of money and they don't understand that their business model was obsoleted, they've instead decided to go to government and say, please, please protect the horse and buggy whip makers, outlaw these horrible automobiles.
Yeah,
and
fair enough.
Leaving the environmental argument out of it, because there's some who would advocate going back to the horse and buggy whip. It was an analogy, not a point. So,
but the whip's cruel to animals.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's my little pony. It's my little pony. I'll beat it the way I want.
That didn't come out right. So, yeah, Sard, you've been strangely quiet.
I'm just sitting back in awe. I was actually reading that PDF. It's freaking stupid. I'm reading this specifically the second paragraph of that PDF and how he says it's scary that these websites can just willy-nilly shut themselves down. Well, isn't that the same fucking law that he wants? Isn't that that's what SOPA
does?
No, but
does. He wants the button.
Yeah, he's pissed off that somebody else has the button.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I didn't want to beat a dead horse. Button. It's fucking stupid. We all know it.
Well, we've got to beat the dead horse here because this shit just keeps coming. Otherwise, we'd be talking about setting up digital dojos because that was actually the planned topic for tonight. But, think about this for a minute here. This entire statement was written by somebody who has no connection with reality. And he's like, oh, it's not fair that they can black out their websites. I'm sorry, they're a private business. Well, roughly an organization, right? They're not a controlled organization. They have no obligation to keep their doors open if they don't want to. I mean,
it's like the crazed retard standing outside the store screaming at them, why are they closed?
Oh yeah, that's an awesome video. I wish I had that. We'd put that link in the show notes. But that's exactly what it is. It's like you have no obligation. Like, okay, under this guy's logic, unless we're infringing on copyright, which we make a really good effort not to with a radio station, which is fucking hard, Galaxy 15. We are under no obligation to keep doing Galaxy 15. We could all just say fuck it tomorrow and go home and have a lot more time on our hands. And under this guy's reasoning, from what I'm reading in his statement, now that we've stood up a website, unless we get shut down, you know, by him, we are obligated to stay online because somebody might listen to us.
IHN for the rest of my life.
am I misreading his statement?
It doesn't sound like you are.
No.
So that's my point, though. So, anyways,
hang on. isn't the American government trying to start innovation in business?
Yeah, I think they gave that up.
This is actually anti-productive to that. It's like, well, think about it, Timmy, because if you want to start something in the digital world, you can never stop doing it.
Well, you know, I'm stretching that bit, but the whole protecting American jobs from foreign criminals is just bullshit. Way these bills are written, you're going to be running American jobs out of here. We talked about this on Tuesday, but it's like tech and internet is the last, you know, growing successful sector of the economy right now, and they want to pass a law to kill it. What the fuck? So, anyway, so just for a great contrast, go look at the Pirate Bay's response to SOPA, which I've got a link to that in the show notes here, but it's much longer, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just felt it was important to read the whole MPAA statement so that we weren't accused of taking anything out of context or whatever by anybody. Not that most people would, but I just, you know, cover my bases. CYA. So, anyways, Fox Wolf has the Why Are You Closed guy. We may rip the audio from that here in a minute. Oh, it's an awesome YouTube video. I'm gonna link that in the show notes.
Give it here. I'll rip it now.
It's in the Yahoo chat. Yahoo chat. Good God.
The 90s called it once its chat program.
Yeah,
back.
No shit. It's in the Skype chat there, are you? Okay, Pirate Bay's response. The most important paragraphs I got from the Pirate Bay response, which we've got that linked as well, is, so the whole basis of this industry that today is screaming about losing control over immaterial rights is that they circumvented immaterial rights. They copied, or in their terminology, stole other people's creative works without paying for it. They did this in order to make a huge profit. Today, they're all successful, and most of the studios are in the Fortune 500 list of richest companies around the world. Congratulations, it's all based on being able to reuse other people's creative works. That's the second part I wanted. The first part I wanted, and I don't have it, let me get that in front of me, because the first paragraph I wanted, I cut and pasted the wrong bit. Okay, here we go. The first paragraph I wanted was, because of Edison's patents on the motion picture system, it was close to financially impossible to create motion pictures in the North American East Coast. Therefore, the movie studios relocated to California and founded what today they call Hollywood. The reason was mostly because there was no patent and no copyright protections for Edison's stuff, so they could set up their studios out in California and copy all the old stories and make movies out of them. And, and then they go into how this is the... That was the start of the industry that is now screaming about copyright. Hollywood was started by getting away from Edison's patents, and now they're bitching that people are getting away from their rules. Oops. I love how the Pirate Bay has history in it that, Madman saying he wants in here. So, boom.
On a separate note, I don't know if you guys saw yesterday on with all the blackouts, the oatmeal and their response to SOPA and all that.
Was that the animated GIF with Oprah?
Yes, it involves Oprah riding a jet ski and koala fucking. It's quite hilarious.
Big goat.
And the best part is it actually got featured on CNN and I think Newsweek and like all these major sites. It is actually pretty funny. I suggest you go watch it.
Yeah. So, Madman, you there?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, with a mouthful of chips.
Welcome to Peer Decking. We've been talking about the MPAA response to SOPA, which is just, you know, it hurts. But and then the Pirate Bay's pulling out history and pointing out why they're idiots.
So, and koala fucking.
And apparently koala fucking. Okay. Well, Madman, do you happen to know the Disney Imagineers? Do you think they could work up a koala? Wait a minute.
They're still working on the
goat, dude. One project at a time.
They're still working on the goat. Okay.
Oh, if that ever goes into place, RUIM dragging you to Disneyland next time you get over here.
Hey, you got to be out back steakhouse, man. That's far enough. That's far enough, hippie.
Troll-a-la-la-la-la.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving right along here.
There's This is ridiculous. My Firefox keeps crashing as I'm dorking the shit out of these cameras, man. Why is that?
It's because you're running it out of memory. Anyways, the next story we got here, and this just happened today. Mega Upload is dead for reals this time. Yeah. We did a story a couple of months back on Pure Decking saying that Mega Upload had been killed, and there were tons of news stories that went around at the time saying Mega Upload had been grabbed in the domain Homeland Security domain grab at the time. Turned out it just happened to be a server maintenance that hit it just the right time to get a bunch of news stories printed. Unfortunately, no such luck with this one. The Department of Justice announced Thursday that it had conducted a major action to shut down Mega Upload, popular file sharing site where widely used for free downloads of movies and television shows. After receiving indictments from a grand jury in Virginia for racketeering, conspiracy to commit copyright infringement, and other charges on January 5th, federal authorities on Thursday arrested four people and executed more than 20 search warrants in the U.S. and eight foreign countries, seizing 18 domain names and an estimated $50 million in assets, including the servers run in Virginia and Washington, D.C. That's right. The feds came in and took the Mega Upload servers.
$50 million.
I think somebody's inflating their numbers to make their story look good. But
that's what I'm thinking.
They stole a shit ton of servers and the whole site. Like, right now, Mega Upload does not resolve. When I checked the DNS earlier today, it was still resolving to IPs that are registered to Mega Upload. But, of course, nothing loads because they yanked the damn servers. So I was kind of hoping we'd see that badly photoshopped, you know, website seized by Department of Homeland Security image that seems to pop up whenever they grab one of these things. But so they, you know, right after the blackout protests, what do? They seize Mega Upload. I think somebody might notice, like, say, Anonymous, who has been DDoSing.
Oh, wait, they did.
Yeah, Anonymous has been DDoSing the FBI, the Justice Department, Universal Music, the RIAA, Warner Brothers, and the Utah Chief of Police Association. And they were announcing it on Twitter that they're doing this in response to the Mega Upload takedown.
I just got to know, how did the Utah Chief of Police get drug into this?
I was just going to ask that question.
I have no idea, but it's in that's one of the ones that they were attacking.
Goddamn Mormons. Fuck you. We're taking our servers.
I might
be
wrong.
It's like the Nazis killed all those Jews and that one clown.
They went after them for the clown.
Exactly.
Didn't Mega Upload not really host anything? They just directed to stuff?
No, you're thinking like TV Links and Ninja Video. Mega Upload actually did host stuff. But
that British kid is getting extradited to the States because of linking to sites that have stuff.
Yeah,
because sue happening. Google when they link to shit.
No, they don't sue Google, but the thing is Mega Upload had a whole bunch of systems in place to try to respond to DMCA takedown requests, and I think it was even Universal that they had given special access to their servers that they could just go in and delete stuff. And we talked about the story that Universal went in there and was deleting shit they didn't have a right to delete, like competing videos and stuff. And, Mega Upload sued them for that. And now, Mega Upload's just gone. Like, they seize the servers, they're arresting people. This is getting crazy.
Yeah, did I use Mega Video last week to host some files to so I could download them at work? And so I didn't have to walk in with a physical copy and risk being, yeah, I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, there's that, but this is just getting stupid. It's like you there. You're not a well-known, established internet company that most people would have heard of. But you have the potential to be used for copyright. Die. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck? What are they going after Dropbox next? I mean, come on.
Hey, but what we got to watch is let's watch these guys. Who prosecutes them? How they get prosecuted? Do they get a fair trial? What sort of penalties are going to be imposed on them?
We're not going to hear anything about the damn trial, and these people are going to end up, I don't know, with cement shoes.
We need to find out, man. This is bullshit.
I mean, and the fucked up thing is the majority of the artists that the MPAA is claiming were affected by Mega Upload had videos on Mega Upload supporting Mega Upload.
Yeah, there was that Mega Upload song, which got taken down almost immediately after it was posted, which was hilarious because I think Universal issued the takedown on that, and they didn't own it. But, yeah, that's just...
I don't know. It's getting more and more murky, man.
Did they have any stated files in which Mega Upload wasn't supposed to have had, I don't know, access to?
I have no idea, man. They just decided that they were encouraging copyright infringement and went in and grabbed their shit. Of course, this does raise interesting questions. If you've ever uploaded to anything to Mega Upload, you know, and it's of a highly illegal nature, you're probably going to be in trouble because they've got the servers now, and you know they've got a team going through those things, picking them out as best they can. My question, what I'm wondering is, are they going to start going after anybody who's ever downloaded anything from Mega Upload? I mean, they've got the servers, so it's just a question of how long did they keep logs, and you know how long does it take them to go through that thing and then try to execute?
Wasn't it with Mega Upload after 30 days your stuff disappeared anyway?
You know, I don't know. I didn't I think it was 30 days if nobody bothered to download it.
Yeah.
It would disappear or something like that. I mean, every time they got downloaded, it added so much time to it or something. I don't know the rules on it. I really don't. But
so I'm just thinking, anything I've done on there, it should be long gone apart from that last program that I put up a week ago.
Well, the thing is, from my understanding, Mega Upload was... The thing I don't get is Mega Upload was complying with the DMCA law. So... what are they doing here other than just making an example out of these guys? I'm not sure what law they broke. SOPA hasn't passed yet.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah, and that right there.
When did they need laws to actually do stuff?
Say that again, BSV?
Since when did they actually need laws to do stuff?
Well, in a practical
sense.
They're
supposed to since the founding of the country.
Yeah.
That's for how often they pay attention
I don't think they've read that for quite a while.
Yeah, well, that's okay, just because, you know, just to see where things are going, we're watching the Chinese government, because they seem to be setting the example right now. So I've got from ABC Asia Pacific News here, thank you, RU. The Chinese government has tightened its grip on social media by requiring some microblogging sites to register... requiring users to register using their real names. It is believed the measure is aimed at making it easier for authorities to track down users. So, yeah, the Chinese government is going after Twitter and that kind of shit. And
oh, God, we can't say anything bad about the party.
If you're in China, they'll just disappear you. So.
Yeah, but how many, Ming Wongs are there in China? I mean,
well, that's true. That's
didn't they start running out of names for people?
Well, what happens if you've got a name that you've established and, you know, sure, you've got your real name in the profile or whatever, but you're not microblogging under your real name. Can they kick in your door and just shoot you in the head because you've been using a handle?
It's China.
Yeah, it's China. So anyways, though, that's I had to cover the SOPA stuff, even though we're supposed to be focusing on the tech today. So let's go ahead and move right into...
Me love you long time.
And if anyone wants to make bag kung fu sound effects, now's the time.
Wah!
Hoyo! Me so honey!
Bwong!
Now that we've gotten the blatant racism out of the way here, let's see. First thing up, I've got a quick link here for Digital Dojo on full set of instructions for grabbing the XP virtual machine that Microsoft puts out for free for Windows 7 users to have the XP mode. The XP mode in Windows 7 is actually just a VM. It's really good at masking it. But there's instructions here on pulling it down and converting it to VMware and just getting a free XP VM.
Hell yeah.
Oh, if you're testing stuff all the time or you just need an XP license, because those are apparently getting harder and harder to locate as opposed to on the side of most university machines. But that license key is probably unused, by the way, because they've probably got a... Anyways.
That's pretty neat, though.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. So, and it's right off Microsoft's site, too, so you know it's a good copy of XP. So... yeah, I would get it off that. If you need a copy of XP in a VM, I would grab that as opposed to... I don't know, say hitting Pirate Bay and risking malware in the XP image, because this is probably clean.
Yeah, probably. It's not like you're going to be able to.
Yeah, she's probably clean. She's only been walking the streets 2 to 3 weeks now.
What'd you say, Fox?
Admiral Akbar says.
Gotcha. So, moving right into the big thing I wanted to talk about tonight, which is building your digital dojo. Now, what I've been doing is, of course, I've been through many incarnations of building my lab. And, well, this is my current build. I've got a stack of old machines. Pretty much a good chunk of them are the remains of older gaming machines. I've got some old machines I got from the family and a collection of old laptops and netbooks that just pretty much nobody else wanted. And I've grabbed an old Wi-Fi router, and I've got another router. And off eBay, I got a Cisco 2900 managed switch. So all that's going in a set of wire shelves. That will be my rack. And I'll be setting up a desktop to control this, because I'm going to set all these things up headless, right? And most of them aren't even going to have hard drives. Instead, and this is one of the reasons they need to be on a separate network segment, is I'm actually going to take advantage of PXE booting.
That's the way to do it, dude.
Oh, yeah. Essentially, I'm going to boot Windows across the network on these headless machines, and I'm going to set up the DHCP server to assign the same IP to these machines every time. And hell, I'll probably end up setting up a small DNS server mapping the IPs to machine names. Now, what that will mean is I can put in the images that are booting, like VNC or SSH or whatever appropriate remote management solution for the software I'm running, and always have a way into these machines just from, well, one monitor. And I'm currently working on a way to modify that Cisco 2900 switch so it's quieter. Because, damn, that thing, it sounds like a jet engine right now. So, and I've already put quieter fans in it. Madman, you've seen it. So, do I need the crickets?
Yes. That's cool, dude. I've actually thought about messing around with the same thing, but mainly for LAN parties.
Well, that's what we originally got it for, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you keep one gold image, have everything pixie boot off of it. I'll have to find you a link. There's actually a cool link where a guy from Google actually did something similar. He was booting Windows 7 over the network, but he was able to make a gold image, and then each computer actually had its own kind of like logical volume that if any changes were made on that computer, they would actually have they were stored in a separate area. So your gold image was still the same.
Yeah, I've actually linked to that guy before in a Digital Dojo.
Okay.
And I know exactly the guy you're talking about. That's where I got some of these ideas, by the way.
Yeah. But it's totally sweet setup. I mean, I'll be real curious to see what you find out, because, like I said, I'd be interested in that for LAN parties.
Well, what I'm going to be doing, actually, is I'm going to be following some guides I got off the reboot.pro forums. And I don't have a link to that in the show notes, but I will add it. And what reboot.pro is it is a really large forum that is dedicated to interesting ways of working with Windows images, mostly the Windows PE images, but they've got a lot of stuff on network booting Windows images, USB booting network images. Apparently Windows 7 has built-in support for iSCSI, so all you got to do is drop your network card drivers in and you can actually install onto an iSCSI share in Windows 7. And there's a specific version of PixBoot they're using, which I'm blanking on at the moment. It's a you actually end up chain loading it because you load this second program for doing PixBooting. And I need...
Cool. What kind of storage are you going to have on the back end?
I'm going to set up one large server using mostly actually parts from Analog. And it's going to have, 250 gig drive and 120 gig drive in it. And so most of my XP, slices will probably get like 6 gig, something 5 gig, 6 gig, something, workable. But for the most part, these machines are, I don't need a lot of space because it's not like I'm going to be loading these things down with software. Mostly for my case, they're going to be targets, or I'm going to set them up with like a small Python script or something so they're constantly logging into and out of something. The idea is to set up not just, a machine and it's vulnerable to X, so you pull out your Metasploit disk and go hack it. I want to actually try to set up full-on scenarios. It's one of the reasons I wanted the managed switch, so I could use VLANs. So there I can actually go in and set up like what a corporate network would look like, where you've got your users constantly logging in and out of things. You've got some servers, and they're in a separate segment. You've got a router between them, because I've got a couple of old Wi-Fi routers that I'm just going to use as gateways, right? Not to mention, I could set up a machine to be a router. I mean, it's not that hard.
A couple of NICs. Are you going to set up Active Directory?
No. Well, ooh.
No? That'd be a cool thing to set up, dude, I think. Put a server VLAN,
that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Clients on a different VLAN, have them going across.
I hadn't thought about Active Directory, but I've got the server images, and it would probably be something good for, practice. Yeah. The other thing is, the other reason we want to set up some of these machines for this is the agent has requested some workspace, so he wants to be able to set up scenarios for demonstration.
Bring the agent back. Need more agent. That'd be cool, dude. Yeah, I'd like to mess around with a token impersonation.
Oh, yeah, no, that shit's fun.
Not hinting to the agent or anything.
Oh,
for video.
Dude, just to digress a little bit into things that, you know, everyone else is sitting here going... But,
I watched a video where a koala was fucking a goat.
I'm just wishing people would leave their lights on when they go to sleep so I can look at them properly while viewing them through their cameras.
But token impersonation is a lot of fun. What you do is, let's say you've somehow managed to get a shell on a box, but you're not a domain admin. Well, you go through and look at the list of recently logged on users, and if you had a domain login, domain admin login in the past 10 minutes or so, their token is usually still active in the Kerberos cache. So you can grab it. And if you grab it, or if you can convince a domain admin to log into a box to, say, troubleshoot, you now have domain rights by grabbing their token and then sending requests to the servers as the admin. And I've managed to pull this one off at work. I had a server that I had compromised, and I contacted a domain admin. I'm like, yeah, you guys need to fix this. And he logged into the box right there in front of me, right? It's like, I've got shell on the box. And I've told him I've got shell on the box. And he remotes into it.
Awesome.
And it's like, really? Okay. So now I've got a couple of domain admin accounts. And I told him about it, and he didn't care. He actually, after that, he turned my account into a domain admin account. It's like, what the hell?
He thought, like, fuck it, you're going to do it anyway.
Well, that was the response I get from most people when I bust into their machine. It's just like, yeah, well, you know. So
they don't pay me enough money to give a shit, so have fun with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much where they're going with it. But the other note that I'm doing is I've ordered off eBay, and they're cheap. So if you want to do this off eBay, I got a stack of 5 thin clients for about $50. That's with shipping.
That'd be cool.
Now,
what kind of thin clients are they?
They're DX166. They're little AMD geode boxes. They're running at about 400 megahertz with 128 mega RAM. Now, no, I'm not going to be playing, you know, Crysis on these things. Hell, I'm probably not going to be able to play StarCraft on these things. But, and they don't have drives. they've got a little socket in them for, I think it's the 50-pin IDE thing. So I could get the... I could get the compact flash adapters, or I might even be able to rig up a laptop hard drive, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to pixboot them.
There you go. And yeah. I was going to say, yeah, there are a lot of thin clients will support, like, it probably wouldn't be as cool, but like RDP or like Citrix Session or something like that.
That's what they're meant for, actually, is, you know, you throw the little Windows PE image on there, or they're supposed to actually have a RAM card to run Windows CE, but the person I bought them from obviously has removed them, so... Or whoever they got them from, I don't know, they're surplus. But they're cheap. And I got looking. Thin clients are all over eBay. And they're like between $5 and $10 a pop.
That's cool.
I mean, you can get a stack of these things. I seriously think if you wanted to replicate my lab setup, which is 3 desktops, one of which is going to be my server, And, you know, this is all old gear, right? I'm doing this mostly on the cheap. I think I've spent maybe $100 on equipment between the thin clients, the Cisco router, and getting some of these older machines, you know, happy. Oh, and a power adapter for one of the laptops. But, you know, I've just got a stack of old laptops I got from local sources, mostly family, who just didn't want them anymore. You know, just old stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Any IT guy has usually a stack of, or, you know, come over, upgrade my computer. Here, take the old one. I don't want it anymore. It's a pile of shit.
Yeah. But, and you know, when you're doing this kind of stuff, you got to remember, yeah, sure, the machine's slow. But who cares? You just want an IP address to throw crap at. And exactly. If you're doing something like, say, testing web apps, that little 400 megahertz, you know, thin client with a Linux distro on it will be an awesome web server because it's not like a lot of people are going to be hitting it. Just me. That right. little box will handle one user going at it testing a web app because at that point you're not testing the server, you're testing the code.
Right, exactly. Or vice versa. If you want to go visit a website from that box, 400 megahertz, 128 megs of RAM, you can still do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, shoot. It's, you know, you loading up an XP on it. You load up like a damn small Linux.
Yeah.
You know, one of the server builds, lightweight Debian, Arch Linux, whatever. Take your pick. I mean.
You know what that just made me think of? I happen to know quite a bit, a lot of medical equipment actually runs XP embedded.
Yeah, Windows.
I wonder, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I'd kind of like to mess around with that because I know it's essentially, you know, stripped down version of XP, but how stripped down, what can you get to, what can you not get to?
It'll
be kind of interesting to see what exploits work on it.
Well, I can tell you from experience that most Windows embedded still have SMB in them, and the older ones are still vulnerable to MS-0867.
Even fully patched?
I
don't know.
That particular company said that they could produce a patch for us with that in it. Microsoft, for Windows Embedded, Microsoft sends out a development kit, and you basically go through and check the boxes of what you want in it. So you could build a full desktop, or you can. You know, usually, what they do is they, because they don't want to advertise that it's really Windows under the hood, so they'll drop in most of it and then write their own GUI on it and run that instead of Explore.
Right, and have that be the show or something. I'm just wondering, I'm obviously haven't messed around with XP Embedded as much. I mean, does it get patched on Patch Tuesdays with regular patches or
no? It's got what was deployed in it. So, unless the vendor puts out a patch.
What's the fun of hacking a dialysis pump, really?
Well, dude,
I can make this dude's head explode.
No, I know echocardiograms, store patient data on local disk before it gets sent off to servers. So, if you were looking for something specific or wanted that kind of data, it gets stored locally before it gets pushed out.
Do you know what kind of fine hospitals get for that kind of data just lying around if somebody pulls it?
Exactly. And honestly,
I'm blanking on it. What's the law called? You should know.
HIPAA?
This. Yeah, HIPAA. Yeah, HIPAA.
Yeah, HIPAA compliance and all HIPAA that.
HIPAA and
FERPA.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. If you want to nail somebody on HIPAA compliance and they've got a machine doing that kind of shit, oh, man. And of course, most medical devices don't patch because they've got to get recertified.
Well, yeah, exactly. Recertified, and they aren't meant to be patched. I mean, they aren't even typically your IT department's responsibility. It's the vendor's responsibility to come out and take care of them.
So I know how we're going to get our full set of new servers from a vendor. Hey, guys. Guess what? We'll report you unless you give us, you know, full 24/7 support, e-care, and new servers every year.
There you go. I mean, shit. Hell, you know, Fox, you kind of went into it there a little bit by accident, but, you know, all this Anonymous and hacktivism stuff, that's kind of not the traditional model. The traditional model is you don't advertise what you're doing. You go to the company after you've hacked them, you know, and say, look, you give me a couple of $1,000 or $500,000, whatever they, you know, whatever it is, depending on what you got, or this stuff goes on the public internet. You know, I will post the link to 4chan unless you pay me. And 9 times out of 10, they'll pay you. So, Yeah, go look at company financial statements sometime. When you say like a very vague network consulting security, you know, payment thing on there, what do you think that is? It's called blackmail money. So, yeah, the whole, yeah, you've got problems and we're going to report you or you're going to do X is actually a very time-honored tradition in this. So let's
keeping hackers in ramen for thousands of years.
There you go.
There we go.
Let's see. What haven't I covered? Use old routers. Oh, yeah, I've got a stack of old routers in that Cisco switch I'm going to use to make out a couple of segments. Anything else in that list I missed? Right, right. If you wanted to try to recreate my entire setup, that's including the monitor and the desk, you could probably do it for less than $500, in all honesty, if you were smart about eBay, Craigslist, and like called around. Because yeah, like how many people do you know have like a couple of old Dells or whatever out in the garage? They don't give a shit about those. It, you know.
Exactly.
Or a box full of them in the warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd still have old computers, too, if you didn't shoot them all the time.
Well, you know, what else are you going to do with them? It's either
those
they sit there or they get...
It.
Or they get speed holes put into them. I'm just making them faster, that's all.
Well, actually, speaking of making them faster, the other thing I'm going to be doing, and not so much for the desktops, but definitely for these thin clients, because I've got five of them coming, I needed, you know, of course you need network names, right? So I'm going to be naming these things after your five basic elements, you know, earth, air, water, fire, wood. So I'm going to paint these things to match the element of their name.
That'll be cool.
That's,
you know,
pretty cool.
Just a can of spray paint, right? Pop the case off, go over it with the paint, put it back. You know, solid color, easy enough to do. You know,
yeah,
just get
cool.
Some good model rocket paint's probably going to be the best for those because it's fairly durable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the way I see it, if you're going to build a digital dojo, have fun with it. Don't just throw a bunch of clients in or a bunch of machines in a shelf and have wires dangling everywhere. You know, go to like the Reddit. Battle stations, Reddit/r/battle stations, and look at some of the setups people do in there.
Oh, God, yeah.
And get some inspiration. I mean, if you're going to build a dojo.
That's nerd porn right there.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I fully intend to clean up the wiring, have it all, you know, pinned down, and I'm going to see if I can build a little custom cable, preferably bright red, that I can just reach up and yank to take the entire segment off my network. So if I'm testing malware or something, I can just disconnect it from my network and therefore the internet and just have it going.
You need a big red button that says stop. It just shuts everything down instantly.
Oh, that'd
be
good.
Or give away the pull before flight tabs.
Yeah.
There you go. I was thinking you call it your like have a big old FBI sign or something above it with a big ass red button below it.
Warning, in case of law enforcement, press this.
Yeah, exactly. This
and
is
you're
cool.
Definitely going to need
a
fireman's pole.
Casing in that room.
All right, hang on. You guys talked over each other. Go ahead, are you?
I was saying you definitely need a fireman's pole, man, to complete the look.
Or what did you say, Madman?
For the red button, just grab an unshielded microwave and stick it on your rack.
There you go.
There we go.
Perfect.
Winning.
I am so happy you told me about this. I did not know about the Reddit Battle Station subreddit.
Oh, no. We've lost him.
Yeah, my evening is gone. Thanks,
he's
going
to be over there fapping in the corner now.
I started him out slow. I put him on our guns and RCCW, and he's fallen into Rage Comics from there. I figured Battle Stations would be too much this early.
Well... we've lost Sard. He's going to be in hospital in a few days from having, you know, lack of nourishment. And let's see, we've hit about the 45-minute mark. So I've pretty much blown through everything I intended to hit tonight. Let's see. Of course, our promos, listen to the stream. Sard, who is over there fapping in the corner, has done a ton of work programming the stream. I have nothing. Every Saturday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and Twitter handles. Who else has stuff to pimp?
I have nothing.
If I actually get around to doing another show, hopefully when I am not feeling like I'm dying, there'll be new review shows.
Well, if you just go ahead and die, you'd get that feeling over with. Go zombie.
Yeah,
come on.
Unfortunately, this whole dying and coming back undead has some other problems to it, too.
That's what the duct tape's for. You can put yourself back together. It'll be fine.
I can find a supply of brains. Do they all have to be human? And do you have a preferred age range?
I'll get back to you once I cross the line.
Once you cross the line, you're not going to be getting stock from me because I'm going to have a shotgun and a go away sign. You have to be prepared before.
Well, if I'm lucky, I'll come back as a lich.
As long as he doesn't come back as a gushy goo, we're good to go.
I have a shotgun and some bourbon. I can be all kinds of happy in someone else's basement.
Oh, speaking of bourbon, I need more scotch. Anyways, that almost works. Yeah, they're both kind of a whiskey. So, anyways.
Alcohol.
Booze.
Let's see, did any of you ever play the Microsoft game Freelancer?
No. No, I don't think I ever played that one.
No, I didn't.
Pretty fun game. Some people have put out a huge mod server that they're running right now that Sard and a couple other friends are playing on. I just figured if anybody still had like some nostalgia from Freelancer, come check that out.
It's called Discovery Freelancer. You forgot to say the name.
Yeah, I was going to post it in the show notes or send a link to the main page.
It's neat. Thousands of ships now. And, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating that. But hundreds of ships, hundreds of new systems to go visit. Lots of new quests. It's cool.
Cool. Well, we'll have to check that out. I'm getting ready to close things out. And, oh, shit. I'm glad you mentioned, video games. Because the Star Trek Online game went free to play. And apparently they put that, what's it called? Panda Media Booster? Pareto, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They put that media booster in there, so after you install Star Trek Online, go uninstall that shit, because it just sucks up your bandwidth. So, and with that, we'll close out the show. I'll be back on Saturday for I Have Nothing, and the next Pure Decking on Tuesday.
your doors? Why are you locking your doors to the public? Why? Tell us the reason. Why? Why? Tell us the reason. Tell us the reason why. Why are you putting people through this? Why? Why? Why are you putting us through this? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the right? By what right do you exclude the population? Why? Who are you? How dare you do this to us? We are the Toronto public. We want to shop. We want to get into the Eaton Center. It is a public place. It says it's open till 7 o'clock. Why are you closed?